Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren here, and I want to invite you to my new home, The Big 615, exclusively on TuneIn. So what is The Big 615? Well, simply put, it's the official home of country music broadcasting live from Nashville to the world. Download the TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. And by the way, yes, it's free. You can also ask your device to play The Big 615 on TuneIn. Get the latest on country music, from your favorite artists to the hottest songs climbing up the charts. Oh, and it's commercial free. That means a whole lot more music and a whole lot more country. Hear it all on the Stormy Warren Show, weekdays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Download the TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. And by the way, yes, it's free. You can also ask your device to play The Big 615 on TuneIn. And I look forward to having you join me on The Big 615.
This is your country station,
The Big 615.
Whether you're doing a dance to your favorite artist in the office parking lot, or being guided into Warrior One in the break room before your shift, whether you're running on your Peloton tread at your mom's house while she watches the baby, or counting your breaths on the subway,
inhaling and long exhaling,
Peloton is for all of us, wherever we are, whenever we need it. Download the free Peloton app today. Peloton app available through free tier or paid subscription starting at $12.99 per month.
All right, how we doing? Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So was this from The Athletic? I believe it was from. I think that's where I was reading it. They went through all the offseason moves from this past year, and they were trying to figure out who's the best offseason move. Let's just throw a few out there that they did talk about. The Jets trading for Aaron Rodgers, the Broncos hiring Sean Payton, the Ravens locking in Lamar Jackson, the Panthers drafting Bryce Young, the Chargers hiring Kellen Moore, the Rams keeping Sean McVay, the Eagles extending Jalen Hurts, and I'll throw in a few more. Orlando Brown Jr. signing with the Cincinnati Bengals. And you know what? I'll actually throw this in there. And when the move happened, Tiki, I said it was a win for the Texans. And I don't think it's an L for the Texans because you got who you think is your quarterback of the future. And then you also got a rusher that you think is going to be insane in Will Anderson Jr., who some think is the best player in this past draft. But I will throw the Cardinals in there as well, where the Cardinals moved back. They didn't feel like they had to pick a player at three. And you get a first-round pick, and the Texans have two first-round picks this upcoming year, one still from the Deshaun Watson trade, and it wasn't the Browns pick that went to the Arizona Cardinals, it was the Texans pick. And I'm just going to assume here, I think it's safe to assume that the Browns are going to be better than the Texans, and I don't know how much of it was authentic, but did you see the call get released a few weeks ago with Monty Austin-Fort and Nick Caserio, who know each other from their time in New England, so it was like a real casual conversation. It seemed as if Monty Austin-Fort had a choice from the Texans of which pick would you rather have, the Texans pick or the Browns pick, and that's like a no-brainer. If you're the Texans, you couldn't have got that deal done without giving up your own first-round pick and not giving up that pick that you ended up getting back in the Deshaun Watson trade. That video, I thought the NFL did a really good job this year, Hickey. And I know you're never going to peel back the entire curtain, right? You're not going to see everything. They're not going to show you everything. But I think there was a few videos that we talked about from the draft to like a month after the draft that did come out. And we were like, wow, that's pretty cool to see somewhat of how these deals get done instead of the videos that I'm always a sucker for when it's coach or GM or an owner calling a player and telling them they got drafted. That content never gets old for me. But some of these other videos, whether it was in the Cowboys war room or it was in the Cardinals war room, was pretty cool. But to make the point and to round out the point here, and then we'll dive a little bit deeper into this, the Cardinals made a great move because they're going to be bad this year. They have their own first-round pick, and then they're going to have the Texans' first-round pick. If Kyler Murray's not able to get back or you have trust issues with Kyler Murray, even though you paid him bringing a new regime with Jonathan Gannon and Monty Austin-Fort, you set yourself up in a good position to either take a Caleb Williams or trade back and get more assets as well. If they do believe in Kyler Murray, I don't think they would do that. I think they would take Caleb Williams and then also use that other pick, which should be pretty high up in the draft, whether it's a Texans pick or your own pick with the Cardinals, to go get maybe like a Marvin Harrison Jr., or you get the quarterback and use the other pick to trade back to then get a haul for, you know, from another team. So I'll give credit to the Cardinals, Hickey, in a move that's not talked about enough probably when you think of offseason moves, because when it's the offseason, you usually think more of free agency and trades. And I'm talking about trades for players, but that draft pick, getting that draft pick for the Cardinals from the Texans for next year in the first round, I think is enormous when you look back at it.
It's not hyperbole to say that one trade in and of itself, along with obviously Kyler Murray tearing his ACL, which means the Cardinals are going to be pretty bad this year, could truly change the entire trajectory of the Cardinals going forward in a positive way for maybe the next 15 years. It's that massive of a trade, along with obviously your season going down the tank in 2023. Could be huge.
You know, I said last week that I just like don't get the joke with Mike McDaniel. I always feel as if he's telling an inside joke and I'm always just not intelligent enough to figure out the inside joke, and he kind of creeps me out. That's a coach in the AFC that creeps me out, and Mike McDaniel, where everyone loves him. In the NFC, I don't think everyone loves this guy, but Jonathan Gannon kind of creeps me out. Where I read some article today, and this is not the thing that creeps me out, but he bought like a $10 million home. That's kind of like just a crazy sentence that Jonathan Gannon, who did a good job in Philadelphia. I know people now in Philadelphia freak out. Oh, he didn't care at the Super Bowl. Oh, he sabotaged the Super Bowl. He already quit on the team. And I get it all throughout the year, even though that defense got the most sacks in the league, people were critical of Jonathan Gannon. I don't think Jonathan Gannon is as bad as what Eagles fans made him out to be, some of them. But I also don't think he's deserving of being a head coach in the NFL. And that one video when he met the draft picks and he was like, or when he got introduced and it was a current player on the team and he's like, boop, 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 psh, 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 explosions when talking about play designs at the wide receiver, that just always creeped me out with Jonathan Gannon. And I kind of feel as if Jonathan Gannon is the person that hacked my credit card today, where they got the bag, they got the loot, but I don't actually expect that person to do anything all that good and end up being a big-time success. And that's the way that I look at Jonathan Gannon, where, hey, maybe they get Caleb Williams and it's a team that you just no one can mess up, and they go get Marvin Harrison Jr. and Monty Austin Ford is this stud and he's kind of babysitting Jonathan Gannon. But I just don't feel as if Jonathan Gannon should be a head coach, and that's someone that I think him as a head coach is just not going to be successful.
I felt that way. Now with the first video that we saw, with the second one, in the one we just talked about,
oh,
in
the
war room, where he's sitting back there looking like truly it was like a take your son to work day. Monty Ossiford is dad, and there's Jonathan Gannon as a son, as like an eight-year-old, just in awe of what his dad is doing. Because his face, as Ossiford's working the phones and wheeling and dealing, making trades, he's just like, wow, this is... It looked like he was truly happy to be there, and like this is an awesome moment more than this is my future right now that's being worked on.
You know what he looked like? He looked like a kid that for so many years had to sit in the back seat as dad or mom is driving around, and then dad or mom finally says, I don't know, when do you usually sit in the front seat of a car? 12, 13?
Somewhere around there.
That 12 or 13, they're like, you know what, little Johnny Gannon, you could sit in the front seat today. You could sit passenger side while I drive the car. And you're like, yippee! That was basically Jonathan Gannon in that war room as Monty Austin Fort worked his magic. You look back at all the offseason moves. What's the best offseason move? What's the one offseason move that you think beats out all the others from this past year?
I think it's the Broncos getting Sean Payton out of retirement and hiring him. Because I think they'll have a lot of success with Russell Wilson and kind of get his career back on track. So you salvage the investment you made last year and allow to bring in a guy in Sean Payton that will, I think, get the best out of Russ and still put them in, I would say, at least playoff contention. And if it fails, I think you still have a really good head coach in Sean Payton that you can then go get a quarterback he wants and still have future success, even if that success is not with Russell Wilson.
I'm going to give you the same answer that I gave last year. It's the Cincinnati Bengals continuing to invest in their offensive line. Now, last year, they went out there, they got Lael Collins, they got Ted Karras, they got Alex Kappa. Now, I don't know the update of Lael Collins from a health standpoint. He suffered a nasty injury, as we know, that he, and it actually revealed that he tore three ligaments in his left knee late in the year. So I don't know if he's going to be back, but they didn't go into this season saying, oh, eventually we'll get Lyle Collins back. They went out there and they got Orlando Brown Jr. And they take him also from Kansas City, which is enormous. So you get Orlando Brown Jr., you'll have Karras coming back, you have Alex Kappa, and then, oh yeah, by the way, Jonah Williams is still there, who's been on your team for a long time, and I know Jonah Williams, you thought he was going to get dealt once they went out there and got Orlando Brown Jr. They still need Jonah Williams because we don't know when Lyle Collins is going to come back. And if you eventually do get back Lyle Collins, we all know how good he is, and you can never have enough offensive linemen as it is, and you kind of work it out, but you look at the Bengals, that offensive line 2 years ago, they got to a Super Bowl, and it was disastrous. Last year, it improved. I know we got to see what happens with Lyle Collins moving forward and if he's able to come back and still be the same player, but to be able to bring in Orlando Brown Jr. and still have Jonah Williams as your two bookends, and then whenever Collins comes back, he comes back with the other moves that you made last year as well with Karras and Kappa, I look at the Bengals offensive line back-to-back years, even though it's not sexy, as the thing to me that I say, okay, those are the best moves of the offseason. That's the way that I look at it, Hickey.
I guess why I wouldn't put number one is just because I didn't look at that offensive line last year as a sieve. Like, it was better.
Got better as the year did go on,
but it was one of those things where it wasn't like it was for years ago where Joe Burrow's running for his life and you're kind of fearing for his safety going forward. To their credit, like I said, that really 2 off-seasons ago, they invested heavily. They done a really good job where, yes, obviously you're not going to hold your nose up at Orlando Brown Jr. coming and say, ah, we're good. But to their credit, they have been a unit that's gotten better each of the last 2 years.
Now, give me another move that you really like, because I have 2 on my list out of the ones that we have talked about, and maybe you have another one. Feel free to jump into the conversation. I have 2 others that I really, really do love.
I will say the Panthers being aggressive and going to get Bryce Young. I am high in his future. Now they've hamstrung at least the right now because they just don't have a lot of assets to add talent around Bryce Young. But I think this is a guy that will be around the league for 10, 15 years. And I like the fact that they identified the quarterback, went up and got him, and weren't afraid of giving up too much in order to get a quarterback they believe will be there for at least the next decade.
The Jets trading for Rodgers has to be on that list.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of the life that it's brought to the Jets, where usually the Jets are the punchline to every joke. And I'm not even saying that the Jets are going to go to a Super Bowl this year. I'm not even saying the Jets are going to go in an AFC championship game. But you look at the Jets, and you have to take the Jets seriously. When you have a defense that was awesome last year, and offensively, you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you have the reigning offensive rookie of the year in Garrett Wilson. Breece Hall may have won that award if he didn't get hurt. You may be adding in Dalvin Cook. Aaron Rodgers is committed as well, and he's fully invested right now. I like the gamble that the Jets did take here, and I'm on board with what the Jets did. The other one, the Eagles extending Jalen Hurts. You either believe in your quarterback or you don't. After what Jalen Hurts did last year and making the playoffs 2 years in a row and now taking it to the next step where he got to the Super Bowl and now playing Patrick Mahomes and he was the best player on the field in the Super Bowl, it doesn't make sense to wait in extending a player at the quarterback position because the price only goes up where you don't have to, and he played like one of the best quarterbacks in the league last year, but you don't have to be the best quarterback in the league to reset the market. And you know Herbert's eventually going to get paid. Burrow's eventually going to get paid. You go down that list, there's going to be a lot of contracts coming, as there is each and every year, to that position. And the price only goes up, 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 and up from there. So I thought that was a good job by the Eagles, even though it's a lot of money, but you believe and you trust that guy, and he's the heartbeat of that locker room, and a veteran locker room with a lot of guys that have won Super Bowls. I thought that was a really savvy move by Howie Roseman to get it done with no drama, no chaos right now, instead of having that be a thing. Well, when is Jalen Hurts going to get paid? When is Jalen Hurts going to get paid? And it gets them all focused once again. The team obviously believes in Jalen Hurts, where last year people couldn't say that, even though they went out there and they got A.J. Brown, and the year before they got Devontae Smith, but they were flirting with all those other quarterbacks, whether it was Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. Now you reward Jalen Hurts for balling out last year and playing like an MVP. I thought that was a really good move. I'm going to spin the question here. What's one move this offseason that you didn't like? because I'll give you one right out of the gate, which I think is going to be an unpopular opinion. I've said it before. I do think this team's going to be really damn good this year, and I do think this offense is going to be really damn good once again. I'm not in love with Kellen Moore as much as everybody else is. The last 2 years, the Dallas Cowboys offense failed them in the biggest game against the San Francisco 49ers. I know you could say, oh, it's the 49ers. Look how great their defense is. You're now getting thrown into the fire if you're Kellen Moore in a loaded AFC. The Chargers have so much talent. I don't think it matters who's calling the plays. I really don't. And I don't trust Brandon Staley from a clock management standpoint, and he's too aggressive. I think there's a place to be aggressive, but then sometimes he just comes off as stupid. But I do think the Kellen Moore move is getting so much love. And I'm not saying I hate it, but I don't think that he's this genius boy wonder like everyone else is. Like, this guy was being talked about getting a head coaching job a few years ago. And now McCarthy's taking the reins over in Dallas, and he's an offensive coordinator somewhere else where if you mess this up with the talent that you have, fire everyone after this year with the Los Angeles Chargers. So that's one move that I did not love this offseason. What's your one move, Hickey?
I will say the Commanders not doing anything to address their quarterback situation.
Great one.
Because Ron Rivera, you got to imagine, on the hot seat, right? This has to be the year if...
New ownership coming in.
If they go 6-11, 7-10, I just don't see you can truly bring Ron Rivera back and actually believe he's going to make a big-time change. And for him to sit basically on his hands, say, no, we're good with Sam Howell, who is an unproven commodity at best, is foolish.
Also, I'm already operating under the assumption that the Patriots are going to get DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm happy that they brought in an actual offensive coordinator, but if Bill Belichick doesn't get a legit number one wide receiver, and don't tell me that's Juju Smith-Schuster, I'll be very disappointed. And DeAndre Hopkins right there, I do think he will be in New England, but if he doesn't, you may get a big-time Zach Gelb-Brandt, and Zach Gelb will be very, very, very disappointed. And you don't want me being disappointed. I love me some Bill Belichick. But I need Bill to go out there, as they actually just show him right now on NFL Network with Lawrence Taylor from back in the day with the Giants. I need Bill to go get and land the big fish here in DeAndre Hopkins.
Will that rant be intensified if it's a certain team he goes to, or just in general, Browns, Titans, like the team's irrelevant? If he goes anywhere but New England, that rant is going to be at its peak.
If he just takes less money and goes to Kansas City, I can't be furious.
Okay. But if he goes to Carolina, let's say.
If he goes to Carolina, if he goes to the Browns,
Titans.
If he goes to the Titans, any of these teams being mentioned right now, yeah, I'd be irate. And Jets. If he somehow goes to the Jets or the Dolphins, I may be calling out sick for like 3 days because I may not be well, okay?
Man.
I may need a few mental health days, if you know what I'm saying.
He goes to Buffalo for like a $1 million deal. Stephon Diggs welcomes
him. Stephon Diggs, come on over.
All of a sudden, Stephon Diggs is like happy to go back to work.
I'll be like Dwight Howard. Hey, Stephon Diggs, come on over. We'll treat you right in New England.
Man. I feel like you're like me. You're letting your emotions, you get a little too far.
No, but you
putting
will admit,
the eggs in the DeAndre Hopkins basket under the assumption he's basically already a Patriot.
You will admit the last 3 years I really haven't lost my mind with the Patriots.
No, you haven't.
Because my expectations have been low. I know, right? I don't like the Brady Belichick debate. Who's more important?
Oh, yeah, the guilt.
But for years, I've said if I had to pick one over the other, as much as I love Bill, I go with Brady because I take the player over the coach. Now, that's not diminishing anything Bill Belichick has done. Brady does not win 6 Super Bowls with New England without Bill Belichick, and the same the other way. They both needed each other to get to the level of all-time greatness that they did. But if it comes down to player or coach, I side with the player. That's just what I do. And I've said that for years. But if Belichick does not get DeAndre Hopkins, I think that will be, like, the Raider loss this year was just so deflating. It was like he got hit by a bus. He just didn't know what happened. All right? That was just bad. But how many good bounces they have go their way for the last 20 years? Okay, I could deal with it. If you want to be serious about Mac Jones, you got to go put him in a position to succeed. At least you got an OC. But now you have to go out there and get that number one wide receiver. And they made some improvements, but they haven't made the improvement that I've been asking for.
You said earlier in the show, 25% chance, I think was the number you said, of a Bill Belichick getting fired after this season. Now, as we know, Bill Belichick, package deal, head coach, and GM. If they don't get DeAndre Hopkins, does that percentage go up, and by how much?
100%.
So it goes up?
100% to 100%.
You're firing Bill Belichick?
No, you bozo. It stays the same. I could be upset, but I don't think Bill Belichick is getting fired at the end of the year. I don't.
You can say you don't think he's getting fired, but you'll keep the percentage the same. Of the percent chance today of him getting fired is the same as if it will be tomorrow if DeAndre Hopkins comes out and signs with a team not named New England Patriots.
Maybe up by 5% at most.
Okay.
But I'd be furious. The intensity on me being furious would be like through the roof.
So you'd not say the F word, fire, and Bill Belichick in the same sentence.
I was going to say, be careful what F word you say.
Come on, I'm a pro here.
You've said the F word before on CBS Sports Radio when talking about Russell Westbrook. Coming on back.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Just horrible news from today. Ryan Mallett has passed away at the age of 35. Of course, the ex-Arkansas quarterback also did get drafted by the New England Patriots and played in two other stops as well in the NFL. Just horrible, horrible news. And all we know right now is that on Tuesday, he was pronounced dead at a Florida hospital after being transported from a local beach where he apparently drowned. That is according to multiple reports. So our thoughts and prayers to his family and everyone that has known Ryan Mallett. Just awful news as you read that. As that was from a little while ago, and I definitely wanted to just pass along my well wishes to his family and our sympathies and bring that up before the show did conclude this evening. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
The Miami Dolphins, according to Barry Jackson, have finally made an offer to Dalvin Cook. I know Tom Pelissero said a few teams have made an offer already to Dalvin Cook. We now know one of them for sure. According to Barry Jackson, doesn't know the details of the offer, but the Miami Dolphins have made an offer to Dalvin Cook, so give them a stock up. I guess the DeAndre Hopkins market could be heating up. Sal Palantonio said two teams are lurking right now, with them being the Browns and the Carolina Panthers. We already know that DeAndre Hopkins did visit with Tennessee and also in New England. I still think he's going to be a Patriot, but a market is starting to come to fruition, so give a stock up to DeAndre Hopkins. So Hickey has done these shower no cap videos, and today his shower no cap video where he's recording himself in the shower giving some hot take is why Bill Belichick is going to get fired after this season. The views of Hot Take Hickey do not reflect the views of the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. But I give credit to one of our own and Erica Herskowitz, longtime update anchor here at the network and down the hall at WFAN. She wrote in response to the Hickey video, in the shower, ? Get serious going after the Hot Take Hickey shower no cap video. So I applaud Erica Herskowitz doing some fighting against the Hickster. Give Erica Herskowitz a stock up. LSU wins the College World Series last night. We already know that they won the Women's Basketball National Championship. And this year in football, they were the SEC West champions. So not a bad year for LSU.
Go Tigers.
Stock up to the LSU program. Now, Hickey, what's going on with this famous Jell-O shot challenge in the summer? Only the summer. I am not opposed to a good Jell-O shot. When I was a counselor at a sleepaway camp and they let us go out at night, there was always a good deal in some of the younger years of Zach Gelb drinking when you're looking for the cheapest thing possible, kind of like what you did this past weekend, even though you're celebrating your 28th birthday. And there was always Jell-O shots, like 3 Jell-O shots for $5. I was always a big fan of the Jell-O shots, especially in the summer. But what is this Jell-O shot challenge that is a yearly tradition at the College World Series where there was like 60-something thousand Jell-O shots being done by LSU fans?
So Rocco's is a bar in Omaha. Each year, they keep track of eight schools, in case you didn't know, make the College World Series every year in Omaha. And they keep track of how many Jell-O shots over the duration of the College World Series each school orders.
Wow.
The record was set by, I believe, Ole Miss a few years ago.
Party school, okay.
And let's just say LSU obliterated the record. Now, it also helps LSU made it to the final game and obviously won. But the final count of Jell-O shots consumed over the 10-plus day span of the College World Series by LSU fans, 68,888 Jell-O shots consumed by Tigers fans.
That's a lot of Jell-O.
At that bar over, like I said, the span of the College World Series in historic effort. Absolutely historic effort. The second closest school, you want to take a guess what the number was?
That was Ole Miss, right?
No, they're not there this year. Ole Miss had the record from previous years.
Oh, gotcha.
Sorry. Yes.
I thought you meant of all time. This year?
This year, the second closest. So 68,888 is the number.
2,000.
7,600 by Wake Forest. So basically, you want to round down a little bit. 60,000 or round up. 60,000 more Jell-O shots consumed by LSU fans versus the next closest school there.
You think Ed Orgeron showed up? I know he's no longer the coach of the football team, but he's happy he got his money. Ed Orgeron shows up to every party. He showed up to Sean McVay's wedding. He wasn't even invited just to hang out in the welcome party the day before the wedding.
Should have been there with the shirt off. Hope he didn't miss the party.
Coach O's looking good these days. He got in some good shape.
And that's why he took the shirt off. That's what he, you know, he used to jog around the
go
town.
Go Tigers, go Tigers.
Shirtless.
Jell-O shots.
Right, rip a Jell-O shot or two in celebration of another title for LSU.
And he could probably afford all those Jell-O shots. How much is one Jell-O shot, do you know?
$5. All, by the way, all for charity. All for food banks within the local areas of each school that is there. So all for a good cause.
And you said it's about 60,000 Jell-O shots?
If you want to round up, 69,000.
Wait, 69,000 Jell-O shots?
That's right.
So times five, that's $345,000.
All going to local food banks in the Baton Rouge area.
You know what? Give a stock up to the LSU fans. So the MVP award is announced last night in the NHL. We all thought Connor McDavid was once again going to win the award unanimously. Wayne Gretzky only did it one time. McDavid did it during the COVID year. And you thought it was going to happen again with McDavid. One person didn't vote Connor McDavid in the top spot, and they actually put him fifth. Now, I have not been able to confirm this, but I've seen the name been floating around that it's Seth Rohrbaugh, who covers hockey in Pittsburgh, covers the Penguins. If you want to tell me you thought someone else was deserving, I don't even think you could make the argument this year. But to put McDavid fifth, that just comes off to me as someone that's trying to get their name in the news and get talked about, which I guess to his credit, we're doing that right now. But I'm giving a stock down to Seth. Hey, we thought that was a lock, Hickey. That McDavid was going to win the MVP and he was going to get it unanimous. And then I always thought it was crazy that Gretzky's only done it one time, but not to have a single person, not to have one person not vote him first place and then vote him fifth, that's inconceivable to me.
I wish we could say we could make it up, but yeah.
It's a bad job.
Vote him second, too, is pathetic.
He should have won that Hart Memorial Trophy unanimously. And then finally, Damian Lillard still giving the Portland Trailblazers time to convince him that he should be staying. I just don't understand that whatsoever. At this point, just go. Dame, you should go. You should leave. They're not going to be able to do enough to give you a legit chance to win a championship. So stock down to Damian Lillard.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.